This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening and welcome to That Friday Night Live Before Cardiff from That Millwall Podcast tonight. Due to absences, really, I'm being thrown into the hot seat of a host for a live. I think it's the first one I'm doing, so wish me luck, but I'm lucky enough to be joined by two very capable gentlemen who I'm sure are going to help steer me through this. First of all, we've got Ben Green. Ben, good evening, mate.
Evening, mate. You're right. I'm sure you're doing a marvellous job as a live chess show host.
Thank you, mate. You scared me for a second there because just as I said that, you froze. So I thought I'd already lost you. I thought my hosting skills had been so bad, it already bailed on us. We've got Chris, two shows in a row with me and you tonight, mate. Good evening.
I know. It's like buses, isn't it? You never have one and then a couple coming along at the same time. Yeah, good evening, mate. I'm all good. How are you? You all good?
Yeah. No complaints. No complaints from me at all whatsoever. And we should have Joe also joining us in a little bit. He's out for dinner, I think. Don't know who or where. Put some comments where he is.
I think he's having his teeth whitened, actually.
Oh, okay. But I'll tell you what, put some comments where Joe is.
Makeover. We've got Mickey getting his hair done.
There you go.
We've been out to Turkey as well, Chris, getting your teeth done. Joe's having his done.
I'll tell you what, everyone, challenge for you. Put some comments in. Where is Joe? Could be out for dinner. He might be bluffing to us. And then when he comes on, we'll show him some of the best ones. So I'm just going to rattle through some of the comments. But just while I do that, I'm going to ask Ben. You didn't do the show with myself and Chris on went out yesterday for everyone to listen to. So just firstly wanted to get your thoughts on the win in midweek.
Well, I mean, just typical us, isn't it? Like two shocking results against two sides you'd fully expect us to beat. And then in the most typical Millwall fashion, we all go into midweek thinking, well, it's going to be a cricket score. And then we go and do that. I think I tweeted was a definition of bipolar Millwall, and I think that just sums it up. Obviously, fantastic result, hugely unexpected against a very, very good side riddled with Premier League quality. But yeah, hugely unexpected, massive result, and one now. I think Plymouth play tonight, right? You said Dan.
They've got Leicester tonight,
so they get beat tonight. I thought this couple of weeks ago, and I'm probably going to say it again now. I think if we win Saturday, tomorrow, then I think we're probably safe.
Yeah,
just because looking at the fixtures, all the other teams below us, they've got to play each other, so they all can't pick up maximum points. So, yeah, dare I say, yeah. I think we're safe if we win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Quickly, just before I ask Chris his thoughts on that, where is Mickey? He's still out in Turkey. For anyone concerned about his whereabouts, please go and have a look at our Twitter page. We were delighted to see he's came through his hair transplant. All okay. You can see his new hairdo on our Twitter page. And we are being told he's getting his teeth whitened before he makes his return next week. I think, Chris, you've actually given him a good place to go to, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a refer a friend, so...
That's what we like. And look, free shows in 1 week for you as well, mate.
Mate, do you know what? Actually, if I did a TalkSport thing the other day as well, so technically it's four.
Four.
People are probably getting fucking sick of me, to be honest. But here we are.
No one's getting sick of you, mate. So what do you make of Ben's comments about potentially if we win tomorrow? Do you think that'll get us over the line? Do you think that'd be enough to get us safe?
I think as long as Plymouth don't win tonight, my answer is yes. Because I think with the results that happened on Wednesday, which largely went our way, largely, we could have done with QPR holding on, but largely, they went our way. So I think if Plymouth don't win, how many points would that be? Bear in mind, as Carl's just said, they've got a worse goal difference. So let's just say Plymouth draw, they'll have 46 points. We would go on to 50 points, so 4 points clear. But actually, their goal difference is better, so I've just contradicted myself. I think win tomorrow and don't lose against Plymouth and we're safe.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping. I know Plymouth have got a good goal difference on us, but I'm thinking just with the volume of teams and so many teams down the bottom have still got to play each other, I think there's going to be enough teams taking points off each other towards the bottom of the league. I actually think I'll be of the opinion of even if we get 2 points, I think we'll be okay. It'd be nice to get it done as soon as possible. I think tomorrow represents a decent chance. I actually worked with a Cardiff fan and he said they've got absolutely nothing left to play for. They've just got players playing for their contracts. But they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to get relegated. They've had a solid season after a couple of seasons flirting with relegation in this league. I would say that usually represents a good chance for us to pick up a good few points here, Ben. But given how the games went when there was no pressure on us or when we were playing some lesser teams and then go and beat Leicester in the week, maybe we could do with playing someone like that again.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, Rotherham, it was if they'd have lost that day, they would have been relegated. So they still had something to play for. Huddersfield obviously needed to win. Otherwise, they would have looked at it and probably thought it was going to be tough for them to peg us back. So there was much more riding on it. I think, as you say, mate, Cardiff now not going up, not going down. They're just going to be plodding along now to the rest of the season on holiday mode. I think Harris, from his remarks in his interview, he wants us and wants the crowd to be bang up for it. So, look, everything's kind of in our favour. Yeah, they've got nothing to play for. So hopefully we go out all guns blazing and put on a good performance. My only concern would be big effort midweek. Can you go again Saturday with a fairly light squad? But yeah, as I say, they've got nothing to play for. So you'd like to think they're all on holiday mode.
You'd definitely like to think that. And as well, I think that's kind of similar looking forward to our other fixture, obviously, other than Plymouth. But in terms of Sunderland and Swansea, Chris, again, two other teams that they're both on the beach. They're pretty much going to be, their seasons are done and dusted. So on paper, winnable games, but this is Millwall.
It is, mate. And the other thing as well, you know, we talked a bit about this on Tuesday. We do suit teams that want the ball because of the strengths that we have. Cardiff won't want the ball.
Yeah.
They'll come and you know, they'll look to 30-40% possession. That's what they're like in away games. They will sit in. Famous last words, but I don't think it's going to be a goal fest tomorrow. And it'll be up to us to try and break them down. Speaking to a Birmingham fan after their game, obviously against Birmingham on Tuesday, Birmingham were piss poor. And the attitude of the players apparently is awful down there. I don't know if anyone's listened to. Have a listen to Gary Rowett's post-match of Birmingham. It's a very interesting listen. but he basically throws the players under the bus and said that none of them are even trying, which is really interesting. And Cardiff obviously beat them 1-0. So let's just hope that our players come flying out the blocks, share the same concerns as Ben around, can they go twice in a week? In theory, they would have had one more day of rest than Cardiff. And obviously Cardiff would have travelled to two away games in a week as well. So we've kind of got that benefit. Come out the blocks flying. And I'm hoping for a 1-0 win tomorrow.
I mean, it would definitely be nice to get it done. Just looking down here, so we've got a couple of comments here. Firstly, from Alex, good evening to you, mate. Does SA deserve a start? And from Tony, he thinks SA will start. Ben, obviously, you was watching the game at home on Tuesday night. Did it look like SA made a big impact when he came on from your perspective? Because to me, and I think Chris as well, we both said this, that he kind of gave us a little bit more of a foothold in the game, particularly when we was going forwards.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to get, right? You're not going to get anything going from the other way, and nor do you really want that. Interesting, just on Chris's point, if Cardiff don't want the ball, we typically struggle to break teams down, don't we? And we lack that bit of creativity. So you'd have to say he'd have to start from that perspective, because he might be that sort of player, well, is that sort of player that'll have a bit of pace, bit of trickery, might be able to find the pass. And yeah, if they're going to give us the ball, you want those sorts of players certainly in the final third. So yeah, I mean, look, there's no reason why he wouldn't, right? And as I say, if it's a game where we're going to have more of the ball, it is probably a good opportunity for him. Go and do what you're best at and what you're doing, have been doing for England. So, yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't start.
Do you, Chris.
Go on, Chris. Sorry,
chaps, would you, given what we've said there around the fact that we're probably going to have more of the ball, do you change Billy Mitchell or George Savile and bring Denoor in? Question.
I think it's hard. I think it's hard after the way they played in midweek. I can understand an argument for it, but I think after they played so well, I mean, obviously there is the argument they might be a little bit burnt out, and we'll touch on the George Savile contract extension news a little bit later on in tonight's podcast. But in terms of Savile in particular, I think he's played pretty much every minute since Harris has came in, and obviously had that calf injury they were worried about over the international break. So essentially, now he's had that contract triggered, they might be a bit more keen to give him a rest. I've always said I would quite like to see Billy and Casper play in the middle, because I don't think them two have actually played together in the middle this season. I think it could be interesting to see how they could do. But that might be an experiment for when we're mathematically safe. I think Harris might just want to keep it with the tried and tested, just until either it's mathematically done or he knows.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think he'll go with tried and tested. If they're both fit and Harris thinks they can do 90 minutes, I would expect it to be Billy and Sav in the middle. As you probably know from the WhatsApp, Chris, I'm rapidly sort of losing a bit of, not faith in Denoor, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm just struggling with him a bit at the minute. I know he hasn't played a great deal. I get that. I can't imagine he's going to be too happy with his lack of game time. I know, again, the game probably didn't suit Rotherham. I mean, it was going over his head. But I think me and Omar did our post-match of Rotherham. We kind of went, he's got one assist all season. I know, again, you could argue that's not sort of what he's in the team for. But, yeah, I'm struggling a little bit with him. I think, yeah, I'd be interested to see if he's going to stay next year.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think the challenge is, in the right team and the right system, I think he would be an excellent player at this level.
I think we saw a glimpse of that as well earlier this season. I don't know whether we fully saw the best of him consistently. I'm not saying he was playing badly at all, but did we ever see it consistently? Like, I know his job isn't necessarily to be in the team and get the assists, but you would still expect a few more, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I was amazed when I saw it was one. Sorry, chaps. I was amazed when I saw it was one. I don't know how many I thought it was going to be, but yeah, I was surprised it was only one.
Yeah, you would expect more of any central midfielder, by the way. But I think with Denoor, he's got a touch of quality about him. And as you said, Dan, we did see glimpses of it. But the challenge is, the way in which we're playing at the moment and the style Neil Harris has got us playing to try and win these games, a lot of it is on being really aggressive and in faces, winning balls high up the pitch, winning the second ball is really crucial under Neil Harris. And I don't think any of those things are Casper's strengths. And that's the problem. You know, Casper's strength is picking a pass that no one else can see, maybe a little bit deeper to the point around not getting the assists. And I struggle to see how in a Neil Harris team that works. Maybe to Dan's point earlier that, you know, once mathematically we're safe, we can play with a little bit more freedom and he tests a few little things. Maybe even Alan Campbell will get a game. Not. But yeah, maybe that's the answer, because there's a lot of quality there, but agree that at the moment it's just not working.
Yeah, and just on this point as well from Gary, good evening to you, Savlon. 10 bookings, isn't that 2-game suspension? We're past the threshold for that point now.
Yeah, it resets, so,
I think it's about 37, 38 games after that. So I think you'd probably need to get about 15 bookings now to get a suspension, which obviously, considering we've only got 4 games left, it'll do quite well, I think, to get that many bookings. But
not beyond Sav.
No, I was about to say, you wouldn't put it beyond George Savile, but it would be quite impressive going to get there. Ben, we spoke a little bit about using the tried and tested for the running. Obviously, I think it's no secret to everyone that you're a big fan of Tom Bradshaw. I'm sure you was delighted to see him get some minutes back on the pitch on Tuesday night. Where do you stand on him over Obafemi at the moment? Because Obafemi probably had his best game in a Lions top.
Bradders isn't Obafemi's quality. Like, that's just fact, right? As much as I love Bradders, I can't die on that hill. Obafemi's not going to be here next year. That's also fact. He's going to go somewhere else or go back to Burnley, playing the Championship with them. It's great to see Bradders get back on the pitch. I do feel like he would have really helped us in this run-in. At games like Rotherham, Huddersfield, certainly, just someone that is an out-and-out runner and will give you everything. He would have just been suited to those games. But yeah, look, he's not gonna start over Obafemi. It'd be mad for me to sit here and say I think he will. But yeah, I'm pleased he's going to get some game time before the end of the season.
Could maybe be a good option for us as well if Harris wants to leave Fleming in his more kind of natural deeper midfield role. If he does want to change it up a little bit, he can actually have two natural strikers on the pitch. Not to mention that there's talk of Kevin Nisbet also being back in the squad tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this for a while with Fleming. I've called it a 9.5. I think that's his position for us. I think he gives us a bit more of a presence up there. He can hold the ball up. He's strong. His link-up play's good. He's our most natural finisher. So you want him as far up the pitch as you can, in my opinion. I don't really want him in the 10, to be perfectly honest. Again, he's one of those sorts of players. How many times do you see him sort of threading balls in between the fullback and the centre half? You don't. I'd rather him in and around the box. He's a finisher, isn't he, really? An attacking midfielder. So yeah, I don't mind him playing in that role. Again, next year when Obafemi goes back, I wouldn't mind seeing Fleming and Nisbet, Fleming and Bradders, whoever it might be, Amaku and Fleming, whatever. I like him high up the pitch for us.
Well, you've actually just segued into another good point I was going to make. So we've had a comment from a good friend of the show, Dan. Dan, good evening to you, mate. What are people's thoughts on that article Zian put out about wanting to play at the highest level he can? I don't know whether people saw. This is only something I very briefly had the chance to read earlier today. But Fleming said he wants to play at the highest highest possible level he can. Plan A is to try and do that when Millwall. We said, obviously, we failed to get in the playoffs last season. We failed to get in the playoffs again this season. Plan B would be to go and do it myself if he has to leave the club. What are your thoughts on this? Personally, I'm just going to go because we have had another comment on this from, if I can just find it, from Mill Holdings. Good evening to you. Every player wants to play at the highest level. Nothing wrong in what he said. And I do think, to be honest, that there is a fair argument. The only argument is that when we're still in a little bit of a relegation battle and he's one of your main players, do you want one of your main players coming out and saying that I'm kind of interested in leaving the club in the summer?
I'll go on that. So I think I would largely agree with both you and Millwall Holdings. I think the article is ill-timed, but we don't know it was actually... Like, do we know he said that recently?
It was apparent. So I haven't seen the official interview, but a couple of the English press, like Football League World and then the 72, they've reported that he did an interview with Dutch media.
Those two real reputable sources.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure the podcast group chat will know my absolute love for Football League World as a source that we often refer to in our group chat.
Yeah, source. Yeah, interesting. But at the end of that, you said something similar last season in the summer. I don't know if there was an article that basically said it was basically a real shame for us not to get there. And, you know, my aspiration is to get there with Millwall, but I've always wanted to play at the highest level. I personally don't really see a problem with it. I think, as I said, not the best time in, but I don't see a problem with it. The thing I have more of a problem with, if I'm honest, is I don't think his performances this year have warranted a move to the higher level. So
maybe not a Premier League club, but I think there's definitely teams that are, with all due respect to us, better Championship teams in terms of they've got more money, they're going to have higher aspirations. Yeah, mate, I could see him. I think I've said this a few times, but I could see him working quite well at someone like a Sheffield United, because I think they quite like players that are, you know, think of Fleming's, for the position Fleming plays and for his physicality, I think that's quite a unique selling point for him. So I can kind of see him fitting into that Sheffield United squad quite nicely. I think he's quite similar to Sander Berge, who they got rid of last summer. Ben, what's your thoughts on Fleming's comment?
Just following on exactly from what Chap said, really. Poorly timed, but his performances this year, who's he going to go and play for in the Premier League after the way he's played this year or the numbers he's put up this year? Not going to, I mean, anyone, really. It's only going to be one of the three relegated teams. And then it's going to be probably when they come down and looking to bounce back up, I would imagine. Is someone going to take him? So you look at those top three sides that are going to go up this year. Say it's Leeds, Saints and Ipswich and or Leeds. Is he going to get in any of those sides? Absolutely no chance, in my opinion. So it is only going to be, as you say, Dan, a Sheffield United type side that has come back down. And again, that's just my opinion. I just can't see him playing the Premier League and being a starter.
Certainly. I think Gazza raises a good point here, though, in terms of the contract length. I would like to keep Zian, but if he's saying he wants to go and play at the highest level, if he's only got 1 year left on his contract, we can't do the same mistake of losing players on a free transfer. We do need to take the money that's there. Even with 1 year left on his contract, I still think we'd be in a position.
I was going to say, you mentioned that a couple of times, right? Sorry, Dan. Summer, it's only a year left, right?
I guess we're quite good, aren't we, at putting options in for players.
I think it also depends on whether it's a club or player, because you get all these different ones. Like obviously Leonard and Saville, they were appearance based obligations. I don't know whether Fleming's is appearances over XYZ or whether it's the club can
his automatically wouldn't be appearance based just because he's not every game and he's not injury prone. Leonard and Bradders, 100%, I'd imagine they have to hit a certain number of games because they've had long injuries and been out for periods of time.
And because their age as well, right? Zian doesn't have that problem. So I guess I would like to think we have an option. Whether the option is on him or us remains to be seen. But if we don't, then we have a three-year contract and we need to sell him in the summer if the money's right. Problem is... what do you define as the money being right? Because a player that's put the numbers up he has this season that says 1 year left would be, Plymouth are winning apparently, would be nowhere near what arguably he was worth last summer. So this is the thing. The other thing
you can't completely discredit last season. It's still a season that he's done in the Championship. It's still very impressive numbers for a midfielder.
100%. But I think even last season, the thing that I think Zian lacks that I think you need in the Premier League is athleticism. He's a very strong lad. I don't think many players knock him off the ball, but he's pretty slow. And he doesn't have that kind of raw athleticism that I think you need to play at the very top level. I could be wrong. But I think that's the same with probably our best technical players. You put him in that bracket, you put Denoir in that bracket. They're not quick as well. You know, you look at players like, let's pick one at random, Sainz for Norwich. He's got the quality, but he's also quick and athletic with it. And for that reason, I don't think Zian Fleming is a Premier League player at the moment.
No, personally. I'm just going to come in on this comment because it's addressed at me. Alex, good evening to you, mate. We all love Fleming. I think, well, most of us do. I'm certainly in that camp. But you can't put him in the same league as Sander. So the reason I picked out Sander Burge was I'm not saying I don't think he's as good as Sander Burge. Don't get me wrong. I just think in terms of the physicality that he brings into the centre of the park, in terms of what he tries to do, I think his game is quite similar to Sander Burge, with them, especially with them late runs into the box for crosses and stuff like that. I agree with you though. He's not at Sander Burge's level, but I just think in players off the top of my head, that's the player that I could think of that was the most comparable just off the top of my head. Dan Riggs has came in again here saying he also did say in the article if the money is right for the club and him, because obviously I think it was quite well documented he was keen on the move to Burnley last summer. But
yeah,
I mean, I know Millwall's not his club, but you always see him. I think the one thing, even when we weren't doing well under Edwards and when he was getting hooked after like 70 minutes, when under Edwards, I don't think the one thing you could generally criticise him for this season has been his work rate and his effort, even when it hasn't been going his way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he was one person that I think has kind of stepped up through the relegation fight. He has seemed up for it. All of it, really, to be fair. When he's been criticised for not scoring his goals and not doing enough, I don't think I've ever said he doesn't look interested.
I did see a couple of comments about him not looking interested, but from what I've seen, to be honest, I know we spoke a lot about Cooper, and I actually said I think Zian would be a strong candidate if you wanted to take the armband off Cooper because of mm-hmm. Zian. I can often see him back for set pieces helping to organise the defence.
Yeah, I imagine he was that sort of player in the changing room as well that will just demand better standards from everyone. Seems that sort of player and person. Just going back to the comment of if it's enough, what do you fellas, what would you put on that? What would you say if we got a bit of X, we'd have to sell?
I think if he's got 1 year left on his contract, then you're probably looking at 5 million or something like that. I still think you can't discredit what he did last season. I think if he's got 2 years left, I think you've got to be looking maybe towards slightly the bottom end of what Dan Riggs has put on screen for the price range, probably 8 to 10. I think 10 might be a bit generous, but if you get a couple of clubs interest, you might get a bidding war, you might get it up a little bit more. So I think it just really depends on that contract length, to be completely honest with you.
Chaps?
I'll be honest, I'd agree with what Dan said. And that's why it sickens me that if we got offered anywhere near the reported 10 million for Fleming last season, like, what a major cock up by the club not to take it.
Will be looking back and regretting it.
Oh, massively. I'm sure they are, because that money could have brought Cresswell. Like, I'm making it up, but do you know what I mean? Like, these are the sorts of investment decisions. And when you look at our squad, probably going off on a slight tangent here, maybe it's one better for the summer, but when you look at our squad, how many saleable assets do we actually have?
I've raised this point quite a lot. I think Fleming, arguably Denore, obviously I think his value's gone down a little bit just with the current recent events. Essa and Amaku, and that would possibly be it in terms of permanent players that we have under contract at the club.
I did add Danny and Billy in that just because they're young. I think they would get another championship side. Or other championship sides would want them. Certainly Billy.
I think Billy a bit higher up. I think Danny's a bit scraping it a little
bit. Let me rephrase the question. How many players do you think that we could sell in today's market for a million or more?
Well, yeah, not many.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, I don't know how much the club paid for Nisbet, for example, but obviously what you can't discount is that players track records even before they've came here. You know, if Hibs came in and offered you a million for Kevin Nisbet this summer, depending on how much we paid, you might take it. I think it just depends on the club his track record. Obviously, we don't know this. He might want to go back to Scotland, and obviously the club will look to facilitate a move, but as Fleming said, that it's got to be right for him and the club, hasn't it?
Yeah, just going back to the Fleming thing, if the figures were reported in saying what they were, as I say, supposed to be believed, then we're absolutely off our heads, we haven't taken that. I think obviously circumstances may have changed, certainly with JB passing, right? So I think that
I think that did play quite a big part in it last summer.
But even still, and I've said this a few times on various shows, that someone at the club, if JB was the driving force in wanting to get a certain figure, that's where I feel someone like Steve Kavanagh's or your director of footballs have got to be stronger to your owner of the club and say, look, we've paid X, we're now going to get Y, we've had 1 year out of him, we could do everything in between, like what chaps said, we could buy two or three players, right?
That's the thing
if JB hadn't passed, that someone in the club needs to take that sort of by the bollocks and say, we should have got rid of him at 10 million because you've still 500 extra initial outlay or whatever it would have been. Do you know what I mean? That's the poor decision of it.
Yeah, but if we did get 10 million for him, like what, 10 million, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money, but like, what can that actually get you in the market these days? Because it's everything's so overinflated. Like, how much do you think Charlie Cresswell, a young English centre-half coming out of his first season playing senior football after having a really strong second half to the season, how much do you genuinely think you reckon he'd have cost last season if we'd have tried to buy him in the summer permanently from Leeds?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to be as much this summer.
That's true.
We've probably lucked out in that respect, because if Leeds go back up, he's going to want to be out the door because he obviously was promised game time this year. He's not going to get it next year. So, we might have lucked out in that respect and we might have saved ourselves a few quid. We might get him at a cheaper price. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe 2-3 mil. Is that on the cheap side, do you think?
I think that's on the cheap side when you add in the fact. I think when you look at certain factors, like he's young, he's English for Leeds, he's an academy graduate. So in terms of FFP in the long term, because obviously we've seen Leicester Premier League side kind of struggling with that a little bit in terms of profit and sustainability, that would all contribute towards that. If it was 3 million, you would imagine that Leeds would be putting a rather generous sell-on clause in there.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think Charlie Cresswell will have a short list of suitors in the summer. So no. I think we'll need to play on the fact that he was... I get the feeling that Cresswell maybe liked by the fans, but I don't think he is particularly liked by the manager because he's not been given any game time there whatsoever. And all right, it's a completely different league in which they're playing in, right? You know, it's not a different league, but you know what I mean, that the quality of player they've got at their disposal. But he was loved here, and I think we need to play on that, because I think he probably will be offered more money to go elsewhere, and that's just the harsh reality of where we're playing. So we'll have to see what we can do. But it's going to be a massive summer, isn't it? Let's be honest, there's going to be a lot of players going out, whether we sell our best players or not. There's still going to be a lot of turnover. So,
while we talk on summer, we have started to plan some shows for the post-season already. There's going to be, we're planning on doing a version of that Millwall Podcast Awards. So we might be doing some shortlists and there might be a chance to do some voting for you guys. Me, Ben, Stephen and Omer, we're going to get together and react to our pre-season predictions. I think me and Ben are really looking forward to that one.
Mate, I actually did it right.
I got one of mine spot on.
Well, hold on, let me define all right. I think I was the one that said that we would finish quite sort of lower down the league.
Let's not spoil it. Listen, we've got that. And there's going to, in terms of the recruitment and changes we would make, there's probably going to be, I would imagine, at least...
That's going to be a 10-part series.
I genuinely imagine that's probably going to be at least a 3, maybe even a 4 or 5-parter. We'll rotate the panel for that one. We'll try and get everyone a say in terms of what we'd do with the squad. So we are going to try and keep some content coming in the off season, as hard as it's going to be. That's what we want to do. And I know Stephen's not here, but if anyone is interested in doing the Who Are You as well, there'll be some stuff like that going out over the summer. Then please get in contact with one of us, Stephen or the pod. Gents, just going to rattle through some comments. But while I do that, question from Millwall Holdings. Do you think Zian is as good a player as Alex Ray? Oh.
What a question. I only remember my first game was in 95. So I only really remember the tail end of Alex Ray's career. So I want to caveat that, my answer, by that, because I'm not as old as I obviously look.
It's the grey hair, mate.
It is, mate. It is. It is. But I've got no wrinkles, so, you know. But no, Alex Ray was a very good player. He was a very good goal-scoring midfielder from memory. He was a right terrier as well, wasn't he? Like, he didn't mind a bit of argy-bargy in that. For me personally, I don't think you could say Fleming is as good as Alex Ray, because I think Alex Ray did what he did for a lot longer and more sustainable, and his numbers were much higher. So he then went on to have a very successful career in the Premier League. So personally, I would say Alex Ray is better than Zian Fleming. Ben, you're the same age as me, right?
The same.
Don't fucking look at me, by the way.
Yeah, who's Alex Ray?
I'll be comparing him to James fucking Henry, mate.
God, Jesus. James Henry was decent. Well, yeah,
it wasn't bad. Yeah. A couple of interesting comments here that I've just picked up on in terms of Fleming, in terms of valuation. 10 million, nowhere near, 2 million max. I'd snap your hand off of 4 million for Fleming. I think that's incredibly harsh. I think we're being really short-sighted there in terms of what... John and Greeny Boy, I think you're being incredibly short-sighted there. What he did last season, his debut season in England, was, you know, really good when you consider his position and everything. And then this season, it's not just Fleming that's dropped off, it's the whole team. You've got to consider that as well. Like, can anyone in this squad honestly put their hand up and say, yeah, I've been better than I have last season? No. So I think you have to take them facts into account. I do think it does, as I said, it depends on the length of the contract that we've got left.
Yeah, it does.
And then we'll have to wait and see. And there's another comment here. Could have, should have signed Ballard. Maybe worth Trevor what we bought him for. I know there was a lot of talk about Ballard. From what my understanding was that we did try and sign him, but he did fail a medical. He had a knee injury when he was with us. He had a knee injury before, and that flared up in the medical. And I think it was quite a big outlay for the club at the time. So they was reluctant to press ahead with that. I think he also had the same issue at Burnley that summer, because Burnley tried to sign him, and then eventually he did go to Sunderland. So I think that's one that I can't really criticise the club for, because he was a good player for us. And I think in the future he could go on and make a decent profit for Sunderland now if he can stay fit. But I know he's had fitness issues for them as well a little bit. So... yeah, another good point here from John about it's not what we pay transfer fee, it's what we can afford in wages. Any decent player will want upwards of £35,000 a week. And I think when you look at some of the players with a bit more pedigree in our squad in terms of your Tangangas and your Obafemis, that's kind of reflected in that, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah, 100%, mate. Be interesting. I've always said it'd be interesting to see what we actually are paying percentage-wise on those players' wages. I can't imagine... we're not going to be anywhere near those sorts of numbers. I'd imagine they'll be on... I mean, you'd imagine Tanganga would be on... can't be far off that, can he, at Spurs? If not more?
He can't be. And this is why we can dream, but there's no chance Obafemi will be here next year. Because... no. The other thing with Obafemi, to your point earlier, Ben, is that he'll probably be in the Burnley first team if they come down. If not, someone else will sign him, right? So he ain't going to be here. Tanganga, maybe there's a slight more of a chance, because I know there's been contradicting articles come out, but I don't really see how he's going to be getting in Spurs' team. But at the same time, I think he'll be on a wage that makes him out of our price range to the whole point of this conversation. So these short-term loans have been good, because I think Tango has been, you know, I think he's proven.
You can see his class, can't you?
You can. But I think that's all they are. And in reality, they're probably being asked to play very different roles to the ones that they were originally signed for under Joe Edwards.
Yeah. Another loan player here, Norton Cuffey. Do you think he'll come back again on loan? I can't see it personally, just because since Harris has came in, he's dropped right out of starting 11. I think if Edwards is still here, that there might have been a possibility, because I don't think he's going to get into Arsenal's team again. And under Edwards, he was getting regular minutes and playing well, adding end product to his game. But I just don't think that's, I think that's always going to be the problem under Neil Harris, because we have seen, I get it's the where we are, he's probably wanting to use the tried and tested a little bit, but it's difficult, isn't it? Because you want to give the youth players a chance. You want to be able to get some of these young talents in online.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been one I would have said we would have had a possibility of getting back, right? As you said, Tanganga, next to no chance. Obafemi, no chance. But yeah, Norton Cuffey, I would have actually said we might have had a decent opportunity of getting him back, or even maybe on a permanent. That seems now very, very unlikely, the fact that he's not got any game time, really, under Harris. Well, hasn't started, has he, since Harris has come in?
No, he started at Leeds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just looking unlikely, isn't it? And he would have been so. You talk about sellable assets, right? He would have been someone. He's a young English ex-Arsenal academy player, if he would have come to us. He would have been one you'd look at to go, he would have had a resale value in a couple of years' time, or he has a couple of good years or a good year with us. You look to move him on. So, it's just another long list of maybes, isn't it, for us, and just poor transfer execution, if you want to call it that.
I think he's been a victim of the change in formation, because I think with Brook is a very good wing back in a five. I think the problem is he's not. I mean, I don't think there's anyone in our entire club that's as good as Ryan Leonard as a one-on-one defender. So he's certainly not going to get in at right back. And moving forwards, I don't think he trusts him enough to do the defensive work that he thinks Honeyman will do. So Harris, therefore, isn't playing him for that reason. So I think that's why he's not playing, I think, to be in honesty. And I agree with Ben. It's a shame, because I think first half of the season, I bet if you'd have asked him, he loved it here. And if we'd have carried on playing, I think he would have had a really good chance of bringing him in with resale value. But it is what it is. But
yeah,
can I ask a question for everyone? I'll ask it to you fellas, and then obviously ask to the listeners. If you could sign Tanganga or Cresswell in the summer permanently, who would it be?
We have had this question a couple of times. No, it's fine. I always think it's interesting, because obviously we're seeing more of Tanganga now, so I feel like we are getting a slightly better picture of what Tanganga's like. I think
the TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.